Today's presenter is Giddy, Ardamon Scum, and AJ Balahadi. Giddy and AJ are both IBM certified Western Systems administrators and work in technical customer service areas for the Western Application Server for over 5 years. Both have in-depth knowledge in using Western Application Server to specialize in SDK performance tuning and admin related tasks. At this time, we'd like to turn the presentation over to Giddy and AJ.
Okay, slide 2, please. So welcome to the part 2 presentation of the JVM performance tuning with respect to garbage collection policies for WebSphere Application Server version 6.1. Last week in part 1, we focused exclusively on IBM JDK GC tuning. This part 2 presentation is the equivalent for Sun and HP platforms. Please note Sun Java is usually referenced as version 5, whereas IBM Java is usually referenced as version 1.5. However, they are both equivalent. As seen in part 1, we will provide information and details on how GC works in Sun Java 5. We'll provide information on the heap layout and various GC collectors. We will then review and analyze sample verbose GC. We will then review recommended techniques for tuning Java heap for performance. And lastly, we'll briefly look at tools used for reviewing GC. And we'll then open up the phone lines for Q&A. Slide number 3, JDK and GC overview. Here we'll review the differences that exist with SDK shipped with WebSphere and what is garbage collection. Please note that when using WebSphere, you should always be using SDK that is shipped with WebSphere Application Server. And please note that SDK that is shipped with WebSphere is Sun and HP SDK with add-ons from IBM such as ORBS, XML, and security. JIT and JVM implementations such as memory management and garbage collection can have significant impact on the performance. However, none of them are required by the JVM spec, and thus we see different implementations for IBM and Sun HP JVMs. For example, IBM GC uses Mark Sweep Collector, whereas Sun uses Copy Collector, which is generational. IBM uses the JIT technology, whereas Sun uses Hotspot technology. And further, the Hotspot uses two modes, client and server. Client mode is used for generally small applications where startup times are quicker. And server is used for big applications, which run for a longer duration of time. What is garbage collection? Garbage collection is responsible for allocating memory. It ensures that any referenced objects remain in the memory and recovering of objects that are no longer referenced or are in use. So basically, it helps with allocating the data and then removing the data when they're no longer needed. Slide number 4, please. Specific differences to HP JDK. It should be noted that both Sun and HP use the same GC algorithm and collectors, and thus the same tuning recommendations would apply to both HP and Sun. However, here are a few differences that we would like to point out. The major one being that the GC output contains 20 fields on HP. We'll not go into the details, but the link here provides a detailed description of each of the above fields. The tools used for analyzing verbose GC on HP are HP JMeter and HP JTune. However, PMAT can still be used as well. Again, the links to these tools can be found in the reference section. Going forward in this presentation, we'll be referring to Sun for most of the presentation. However, it applies to both Sun and HP. Slide number 5, heap layout. Here we'll show you how the heap is laid out. At a high level, the logical structure on the right shows the heap layout. It consists of old and new generations. The new region is where the objects are initially created, and the old region contains objects that are moved from the new region. Sun's Java heap consists of two independently allocated heaps as seen on the diagram in the left. A separate space called the permanent region, which consists of classes, methods, class loaders, and long-lived objects that survive the entire life of the site, life cycle of the JVM, reside in the permanent region. It is configured using parameters perm size and max perm size. The other part of the heap consists of old and new region, as seen in the logical structure diagram on the right-hand side. This part of the heap is used for storage of object instances that are allocated by user programs during runtime. And it is configured using initial heap XMS and maximum heap, which is MXX. Thus, the total Java heap, if you look at, is maximum heap plus maximum perf size. Just to note, we are still on slide 5, and we'll spend some more time on it since this is the foundation. The new region on the left-hand side is further split into Eden space and two survivor spaces. The survivor spaces are labeled as from space and to space. And now let's discuss how the data is allocated, stored, and garbage collected in the new and old regions. Objects are initially allocated in the Eden and moved to one of the survivor spaces as part of minor GC, shown in step 1. Objects are copied between the survivor spaces in this way until they are old enough to be tenured, and as shown in step 2. The survived objects are then copied to the tenured generation, as shown in step 3. So what is minor GC and major GC? Minor GC is called scavenge, which is not stop the world, and it is done by copying of objects. Whereas major GC is called full GC, which is basically stop the world and is done via marking of objects. And here what I mean by stop the world is when major GC is running, all the application execution is stopped. So the entire control is given to the GC at that point in time. Moving on to slide number 6, heap generations. So this part basically provides explanation of what we just discussed in the previous slide. Again, to recap, the heap is divided into generations or regions, and it shows how it is utilized. We'll go through the points again briefly here. The heap is divided into three sections: the young generation, the tenured or the old generation, and the permanent generation. The young generation contains most of the objects that are initially allocated. The tenured or the old generation contains objects that have survived a few minor GCs and have been promoted to the old generation. And permanent generation contains objects that may survive the entire life cycle of the JVM. These are the classes, methods, class loaders, etc. Please note that permanent generation region is physically an independent and separately allocated region of storage from the main heap. Slide number 7. Configuration parameters for heap sizing. We'll now look at the parameters and syntax for configuring different sections of the heap. Young's generation is sized using a new size or new ratio parameters. The young size should be less than half of the total heap, and we'll discuss the significance of this in the tuning section. Eden and survivor spaces can be set using the survivor ratio. For example, setting a survivor ratio of 6 will set each of the survivor space to be 1/8 of the young generation, and it is 1/8 because there are two survivor spaces. Tenured is automatically set by setting the young generation size. The permanent is set using perm size and max perm size. So again, Java heap is maximum heap plus the maximum permanent region size. Also note that the default values for each of the region varies based on the machine type. Slide number 8, triggers for GC. So what triggers a GC? It could happen in any region. A minor GC is triggered when young generation fills up. A major GC is triggered when the promotion fails or failure to allocate a class in the permanent region. A minor GC is not stop the world, but the major GC is stop the world. Again, stop the world is where all the application execution is stopped. There are some other reasons why a major GC could occur. It is when a system.gc or runtime.gc is invoked by an application or through distributed RMI. Going to slide number 9, overview of GC collectors. So far we have talked about Java 5 garbage collection, heap layout, and parameters that are used to configure different regions of the heap. So now let's talk about various GC collectors in Sun. As seen in part 1 last week, IBM calls different implementations of GC algorithms as GC policies, whereas here the Sun calls the different algorithms as GC collectors. So GC collectors are algorithms within the JVM that are responsible for doing garbage collection. Let's provide some detailed information on the GC collectors. So there are 4 GC collectors to choose from in Sun. The first one is the serial collector. The second is throughput collector. The third is concurrent collector. And the fourth is incremental collector. Before getting into the details of the collectors, let's define what a client and server machines are. JVM considers a machine to be a server type if it has 2 or more CPUs and it has 2 gig or more of memory. If the machine does not satisfy this criteria, JVM will classify the machine as a client type. Now going into the different collectors that are available in Sun, the first one, which is the serial collector, this is the default collector for the client-style machines. Again, as discussed, the client-style is a machine that has less than 2 gig of memory and probably has just 1 processor. It is, again, to note, serial collector is top of the world where all the application threads are halted when doing the garbage collection. And it's mainly used for applications that you have small Java heap sizes, usually less than 256 meg. The next collector, the throughput collector, this is the default collector for server-type machines. And here, since the server-type machines have multiple CPUs, it would take advantage of multiple CPUs to do parallel GC. Slide number 10, overview of GC collectors continuation. The next collector is the concurrent low-pass collector, also called the CMS. This is also a collector that is widely used, and it runs concurrently with the application threads, and the main purpose is for this collector is to reduce the GC pass times, and we'll discuss in more details what that means in the next slides. The last one is the incremental collector, which is the fourth garbage GC collector. This is not widely used and may be obsolete in future versions, and thus our focus will be on the 2 widely used collectors, namely the throughput collector and the concurrent collector, which we'll discuss in the next 2 slides. Going on to slide number 11, throughput collector. We'll focus here on the throughput collector. As we just discussed, this is the default for the server type machines. This collector takes advantage of the multiple CPUs for doing GC. So, for example, a machine with N CPUs will use N threads in parallel and thus reduce the pause time by N during the GC. Now, it's also used for applications where throughput is critical over pause time. So this is the main criteria for choosing this collector, where applications have a higher demand on throughput versus pause time. Another type of collector which is recently introduced since update 6 is called the parallel compacting collector, And this is basically an extension to the parallel collector that works in the old generation as well. So the throughput collector by default will work in the new generation area by utilizing the N CPUs that are available to do the parallel garbage collection, whereas the parallel compacting collector will also use parallel threads to do the garbage collections in the old generation area. Now, if throughput is critical, then you can take advantage of both use parallel GC and use parallel old GC, as it will make use of parallel threads in both young and old generations. So again, the emphasis for the throughput collector is on throughput rather than the pause times that could occur. Going into slide number 12, concurrent low pause collector, CMS. This is another important GC collector that is provided by Sun. Now, the main aim for this collector is for reducing the pause time. So where pause times are critical, like that in a trading system or a portal, this collector might be a good choice as it will automatically use parallel threads in the young generation as well as a dedicated concurrent thread for the old generation. The CMS is done in several phases, and we'll discuss when reviewing garbage collection output for the CMS collector what these phases are. But the couple of points, or the important points I think that we should be aware of when considering CMS is that it cannot be used with use parallel GC flag, and it is not the default, so it has to be explicitly set using use conk mark sweep GC. Going on to slide number 13. Parameters to enable GC logging. So again, thus far, what we have seen is we have seen Java 5 garbage collection and how it works. We looked at the heap layout and how to size the various regions of the heap. We also looked at various GC collectors, namely serial, throughput, concurrent, and incremental. And now let's look at some of the parameters to enable verbose GC data, as it is very important and will be very helpful in tuning the JVM. So just enabling verbose GC by itself will give you very basic information. However, in most cases, we need detailed information about various regions of the heap, which can be obtained using print GC details and print GC timestamps. So print GC details and print GC timestamps are important parameters that need to be enabled for doing any verbose GC debugging. The print GC timestamp is very critical because it helps us determine how frequent the GC is running, and also determine the person time spent in GC. Going on to slide number 14, sample GC output for verbose GC. Now we'll look at sample outputs using GC logging flags for various collectors. We'll start with the basic output with verbose GC without any other flags such as print GC details or print GC timestamps. So let's look at the particular line highlighted above. GC indicates that it was a minor collection. The number before the arrow indicates the heap usage before GC. In our example, that number is 50108K. The number after the arrow indicates heap usage after GC. In our example, that is 34456K. Now, the difference between the two is the amount that got freed up by the GC. Next, the number in parentheses shows the heap that is currently expanded to. In our example, the heap is currently expanded to 100736K. And the number after the parenthesis indicates the total time it took to do the minor GC. And in our example, that is 0.0248518. And please note that this minor GC does not include quorum region because it's a minor GC cycle. Also, if you look in the above, you see a full GC, which is a major collection, and it is top the world. And to note, the full GC will collect all the regions of the heap, including the quorum region. So this is basically a very simple example with verbose GC enabled. Going on to slide number 15, sample GC output for a major GC. So here is another sample output with print GC details flag enabled. And it shows some extra details that is in addition to what we saw in the previous slide. So a couple of interesting points to note here. There is a section for PS Young that shows details about the young generation area. There is a section called PAR Old Gen that shows details about the old generation area. There is a section PS Perm Gen showing the details about the permanent region. And the heap user summary is nothing but the young plus the old generation. So these are the different sections that are output when enabling print GC details. In this above example, please note that we do not have print GC timestamps enabled. But had that been set, you'd have seen each GC cycle preceded by a numerical number, which is basically in seconds to show when each GC begins, and that would be relative to the application start time. So to conclude from this output, we can tell the type of collector in use and details about each of the heap regions. Going into slide number 16, sample GC output for throughput details. Again, in this example, we do not have print GC details enabled, so we see very basic information. This is the basic output for the throughput collector, as indicated by the PS Young Gen word in the above output. We do not get detailed information of each region, which is critical for tuning the heap region. So please make sure print GC details and print GC timestamps are enabled. Also, we cannot tell how frequent the GC is running and to see if GC is really the bottleneck here. So again, the emphasis should be on enabling print GC details and print GC timestamps. Otherwise, the output would be very basic. Going on to slide number 17, sample GC output for concurrency. This is the output when using concurrent collector, and it shows the phases of the concurrent collector. There is initial mark phase that is stop the word. The next three phases of the concurrent collector, which are concurrent mark, concurrent sweep, and concurrent preclean. These are not stop the world, and the last phase is remark, which is stop the world. So when does the concurrent mark kick in? CMS collector starts out a collection when the occupancy of the old region reaches a threshold. This threshold is calculated dynamically by JVM based on the GC history. Also, it can be explicitly set using a parameter, which is not actually on the coil up there, but the parameter is CMS initiating occupancy fraction. So this is the parameter that is used to set the threshold for kicking in the concurrent mark. Now, if this default value, if this is not specified, a default value of 68% is always used for concurrent GC collector. A couple of interesting points to note related to CMS. CMS cannot do compaction by design because it runs concurrently with application threads, and this might lead to fragmentation. And this is where the full GC could kick in to do the compaction to create a contiguous space. And now, if there is a clash between the CMS cycle and the full GC cycle, then full GC would take the precedence and abort a CMS. Going on to slide number 18. Tuning. So before we dive into the tuning again, let's just recap briefly what we have seen before. We saw Java 5 garbage collector and how it works. We saw the layout of the heap, the parameters that are used to configure different regions of the heap and what triggers a GC. We looked at various GC collectors, and we looked at parameters to enable GC and a few sample GC outputs for throughput and CMS collectors. Now we'll look into tuning, where we'll talk about ergonomics, aggressive ops and adaptive sizing, and how to select the correct GC collector, and also how to size the heap. We'll discuss each of this in the coming slides. So we'll look at each of these points in the next few slides. Going on to slide number 19, JVM ergonomics, also called self-tuning. This is a new feature of Java 5.0, which provides a built-in tuning mechanism based on machine type. So as we discussed earlier, a machine is a server type if it has two or more CPUs and has 2 gig or more memory. Otherwise, the JVM will treat the machine as a client type. So for server type machines, ergonomics defaults to parallel GC collector, which is also called the throughput GC collector. As part of the ergonomics, do not consider tuning the JVM, but instead specify your criteria such as pause time, throughput, or footprint. Maximum pause time and throughput goals are set using the parameters mentioned in the slide here, max GC pause millis and GC time ratio. The maximum pause time goal is met first. Only after it is met, the throughput goal is addressed next. And similarly, after these two goals have been met, the third footprint goal is considered. So the priority of the order of the goals is first the throughput. First is the pause time goal, then is the throughput goal, and then third is the footprint goal. For example, if criteria is your throughput and you do not want to spend more than 10% time in the GC, then you would set GC time ratio to 9. And by the way, the default for throughput is 1%. So if you do not specify any goals, by default, a goal of 1% is used for the throughput. Going on to slide number 20, ergonomics advanced options. So here are the advanced options based on ergonomics, and we would like to highlight them. The first one, adaptive sizing. It is an algorithm to dynamically control the sizes of the young generation based on the application needs. So for this, the JVM relies on GC times, allocation rates, and free space to meet the earlier goals specified in the earlier slide. Another advanced option is the aggressive ops. As the name suggests, it would aggressively like to take up all the resources that are available on the system without consideration for other applications. So this would create problems in a cluster setup and thus not recommended for WebSphere environments, because in WebSphere cluster environments, you could have multiple JVMs running on the same machine. And if you have aggressive ops enabled, there could be clashes between the JVM trying to maximize on the usage of the system resources. Going on to slide number 21. Ergonomics, points to consider. Some of the points to consider if ergonomics is just right for your application. As we saw, ergonomics leads to automatic selection of the garbage collection, the hotspot mode, and heap size, which might be suitable for most applications, but enough testing should be done to see if they really meet the criteria such as throughput and pause time. Otherwise, you should consider manual tuning options that we'll discuss in the next slide. Going into slide number 22, if your test results are not satisfactory, you may need to look beyond ergonomics. Especially, this is true for large applications like WebSphere, Portal Server, or Commerce Server, as it is not fair to expect the ergonomics to optimize based on the throughput and the pause time goals set by the user. So here is where you may have to use manually set the GC collector options. And from our experience, we have learned that manual tuning may provide better options as you have more choices to choose from and take advantage of the different GC collectors based on the strengths and your application, what it is doing. Slide number 23, beyond ergonomics, going on to heap sizing. Again, stepping out of the ergonomics, typically the performance issues might be related to heap sizing. So here are a few rules of thumb that should be considered. First, you should decide on the total amount of memory you can afford to give to the virtual machine. Second, grant plenty of memory to the young generation. And third, always ensure that young generation guarantee criteria is met. And what I mean by young generation guarantee is that in the worst case scenario, if all the objects were to survive in the young generation, then we should be able to fit them into the tenured region. Failing to meet this will lead to major GCs, which will in turn cause more pause times. So a good starting point for the young generation would be about one-third of the total heap, and any value going above half might be counterproductive. Going on to slide number 24, general tuning recommendations. Here are some additional things that need to keep in mind. Always use the server hotspot mode and never use no-class GC. If you use no-class GC, the classes will be loaded and unloaded and unnecessarily increase the times that are required for doing the GC. So never use no-class GC and always use the server hotspot mode. You should try and use variable heaps instead of setting your initial heap equal to the maximum heap, as it will allow the JVM to scale better. A lot of times we have seen where initial heap is set to maximum heap, and as far as possible, try to avoid that. It may be necessary to put your initial heap equal to maximum heap in certain cases, but in most cases we have seen setting this to different values provide better scaling of the JVM. Tune your maximum parameters like max heap and max firm region based on the resources available on the system. So there could be other applications or programs that are running on the machine which have a requirement on the system resources as well. So please consider that while tuning your maximum parameters like max heap and max firm region. And if necessary, you may need to increase the memory on the system, for example, to satisfy usage by different applications. Then the next thing to look at would be tuning your minimum parameters. And this is usually done if your startup times are an issue, in which case you may increase your minimum or the young generation size, which would allow the GC to take longer for the older generation ultimately. So it would basically delay the GC at a later point in time. And finally, you should always do load testing to decide the correct GC collector. Slide number 25, common out-of-memory errors. So here we just talked in the previous slides about the tuning strategies. Here we'll touch on out-of-memory errors that come up frequently. Most of the time, the out-of-memory errors are related to exhaustion of Java heap or native memory. Let's look at Java heap exhaustion. Review of verbose GC, heap dumps, and JMAP stats will help with any Java heap out-of-memory issues. So those are the things that we need to look at first for fixing Java heap issues. If you're running with default heap settings, then it may be necessary to increase your heap sizes as the next thing. If you see back-to-back full GCs, then most likely your firm region is exhausted, so try to increase the firm region. If you see messages related to out-of-swap space, then this could be potential system resources or paging issue, in which case you may need to increase the memory on the machine. And now coming to the native out-of-memory issues, typically you would see messages in the logs like unable to create threads due to system resource constraint or malloc errors. So if you see this kind of messages in the logs, then it typically means that you're running out of native memory. Also note that applications that use JNI code or JDBC type 2 drivers will use native memory. So this should be considered when sizing your memory requirements. Going on to slide number 26, tools. So we just talked about tuning, and now we'll talk about some of the tools. Here are a few tools that we have listed. First is the PMAT. It can still be used to analyze verbose GC data for Sun and HP. So you can use that, and there's a link provided to download the PMAT tool. Heap analyzer is used for out-of-memory or heap leaks. It can read heap runs generated by Solaris and HP JVMs and automatically detect any leak suspects for you. So this is a good tool as well to use, and it can be downloaded from the link above. JMAP is another tool that is part of the Sun SDK. It provides a snapshot of the heap and prints memory-related stats. However, please note that this might create unstable environments when you have large heaps. And we have seen in certain cases where it will actually kill the JVM. So this tool needs to be used with caution. Unlike IBM JVM, the Solaris thread dump does not provide all the JVM arguments. So in this case, we may need to use some other tools to determine what the heap configurations are, such as the maximum size or the new size. And the tool here is the ps-auwx with the app server PID. So that's the command that you can use to determine configuration parameters like maximum size and new size. Slide number 27. Here is a slide just to give you key options that are used for GC. This is a slide, we just put some of the most commonly used options that are handy. This is just for reference again, and we have discussed most of these flags in the earlier slides. Use serial GC is collectors that is used for client type of machines. Use parallel GC, which is the default for the server style machines. Use parallel old GC is another parallel compacting flag that we discussed that does the parallel compacting in the old generation. And use concurrent mark sweep GC. This is another type of GC collector that is mainly used to reduce the pause times because it has the concurrent thread that runs with the application threads. However, you should note that concurrency uses a resource from the system, and it would be one less resource that would be available to your applications. And then the most important flags for garbage collection statistics like print GC, print GC details, and print timestamps. So these are the flags that you should enable when trying to debug your garbage collection. Going on to slide number 28. Okay, so here we are at the summary. Let's just recap briefly what we have seen in this discussion. We have looked at differences between the IBM and Sun SDK and the extensions that are added to the SDK shipped with WebSphere. We looked at the Java 5 garbage collection and how it works. We looked at the layout of the heap, how data is allocated and freed from the heap, and what constitutes a minor and a major GC. We looked at parameters to configure different regions of the heap, and also looked at some of the triggers that cause GC. We looked at various GC collectors, namely serial, throughput, concurrent, and incremental. The throughput collector is also called the parallel collector. We then looked at the parameters to enable GC and then reviewed some sample GC outputs for various collectors. We then went into tuning and ergonomics and lastly looked at a few tools that are available for debugging. And then we have the reference section that is pointing to several of the links that we used in this presentation. And we are on slide number 29. So basically, this is a reference section of a lot of useful links that you can use to get more details on various parameters that are set for garbage collectors and GC tuning. Going into slide number 30, these are just the additional WebSphere product resources, and You can look at the IBM Education Assistant that consists of self-help modules to get new users, with a fast learning curve. And now going on to slide number 31, Q&A. So I'll give the control to Alijah to open the lines for Q&A.
All right, thank you.
And we'll hear first from Balan Ampini with AT&T.
This is Balan Pini from AT&T. I have two questions. My first question is, we have been hearing this temporary space and the permanent space within the JVM. Also heard about nursery space, which is the objects which are cleaned quite often and go in and out. And we also talked about the objects that go into the permanent space. I have noticed in some of the applications where over a period of time, though the nursery space is constant and it is almost steady, the permanent space keep on increasing over the period of time. It goes very large. What is the reason?
Okay, the reason for the permanent space to fill up is because you have classes and methods that are being loaded into the perm region. By default, the perm region is based again on the machine type or the you know, the selection that is made by the JVM. It's usually, I think, 64 meg, which is quite low. So in that case, you actually need to increase the perm space to a higher value because it's just that your application demands more perm region space.
Okay, the reason why I ask this question is that I have seen 512, I have seen 256, but recently I have seen 1 gig. Have you seen in your experience where it is almost 1 gig of perm space?
Yes. I mean, it typically depends upon the applications. Most of the JSPs, especially in WebSphere, they are loaded in its own class loader. And if you have like hundreds of JSPs, which are typically live to the duration of the JVM, they get allocated to the perm space. So if you have like hundreds of JSPs, yes, it's we have seen situations where perm region can go up to 1 gig.
Oh, okay. My second question is, what is LO ratio? And sometimes I see the recommendation made by ISA IBM tool. And I had done some analysis with respect to some of the ratios it recommends. What is that it is telling me, LO ratio?
Okay. LO stands for large object area. And this is only for IBM JDK, and which we covered in the part one.
Okay.
So not applied for Solaris.
Okay, okay.
And this LO ratio is, again, only for objects that JVM considers are big. Typically, the object, anything bigger than 64K is considered large object by the JVM.
So you
and
mean,
go ahead.
So you mean to say if my IBM assistant tool recommends me LO ratio means I'm loading the objects greater than 64K?
Yes. I mean, typically, if it is a application trying to pull up reports from the back end,
okay,
and it's having a lot of XML content, we have seen where object allocation requests in the order of 5 to 10 meg and even 20, 25 meg too.
Okay.
But again, this is specific to IBM JDK, just to make sure you're aware of that.
Right. I agree with you. And
okay,
what is minus XP and minus XMINF?
Typically, these are again IBM specific. The equivalent for Sun are called min heap ratio and max heap ratio.
Okay.
The JVM performs, GC performs ideally if the heap usage is between 40 and 70%.
Okay.
And based on the usage, it will shrink or expand the heap.
Okay.
And these parameters, minf and maxf, where you can control and explicitly set what the minimum heap usage when it needs to expand.
So
by default, these are 40 and 70%.
So what is XP then?
It's a P cluster. Are you talking about a P cluster or just XLP? There are two things. One is minus XP, which is for P cluster.
Okay.
And there is one called minus XLP. Again, all of these are specific to IBM JDKs.
Okay.
Minus XLP is for large page memory model, which is again some OS specific.
Okay.
Minus P is again called P cluster for fragmentation issues,
okay,
which are predominant in 1.4 JDK, and we don't see that often in 1.5 and is not valid for 1.5.
Okay. So basically, these recommendations are for large objects and for fragmentation.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm done. Thanks.
And we have another question from Say Akula with Fidelity.
Hi. My question is very specific to IBM JDK. I've been testing with a GenCon policy, and what I wanted to know was what is the default nursery space and the tenure space settings for the default JVM heap settings?
Yeah, this is a good question. I think we covered in the part one presentation. By default, it is the tenure is set to, the nursery is set to 64K, irrespective of the max heap, but over a period of time, the JVM will monitor the GCI activity for the application and automatically resize them. So the ideal setting would be one-third of the max heap. You can explicitly set that using minus XMN, minus XMNX and minus XMNS for the nursery. N stands for nursery, basically. It's just like a max heap, but you have an additional argument there, N, which stands for the nursery. If you set the nursery, the remaining would go for tenure.
So does it mean that both are dynamic in this scenario?
Yes, and the JVM will configure that. Typically, the concept of having multiple policies with starting 1.5 JDK is we don't want the user to go and tweak in minor things. If you use a particular GenPong policy and it's not meeting your requirement, maybe it's time for you to look at other policies like off-average pass.
Okay. So
when it comes to that point,
not to set the min-max for nursery and tenure?
You can set, but JVM should take care of that for you. And like a typically big application might be, you have a special requirement, then you can explicitly set that as well if you're not meeting that requirement. And maybe you're using GenCon because your application might be creating large objects for which GenCon is the perfect one.
Yeah, in addition to that, I see a lot of compaction when I use the default.
Right. So you would alleviate that compaction as part of GenCon because most of the GC is happening in the young generation, which is copying collection by default, and inherently it's free of fragmentation because you copy the entire object.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
thank you.
Yeah.
We'll take our next question from Doug Staff with IBM.
Hi, just a quick question. The almost everything that applies to the Sun GC information that we've gotten is applies to the HP also, correct?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. It's just a couple of small differences.
The only thing, Doug, is if you enable extended verbose GC, you would see the verbose GC a little different with the 20 fields. And in that case, you may have to use a tool specific to HP, like HP JMeter, or you can use PMAT too. But,
okay, but
other than that,
should be the same, all the references.
And most of the tuning documentation, if you go to the HP side, they refer back to Sun. So pretty much the same.
Okay, thank you.
And it appears we have no further questions.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Web Series Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Gideon and AJ, for presenting today.